Well, we are in very challenging times, and we have need of hearing God and moving with God in what he wants for our lives, because we know. Actually, the days are short. Jesus is coming back, and we only have one life to live for him. And so I know that you're here this morning because you want to live for Christ. And that is, we want to make the best of every opportunity and every day that we have. Let's turn in Proverbs, and we're just going to look at a few scriptures and move into some ministry after the word this morning. And so it's going to be a bit of action. Tell somebody next to you, we need a bit of action, otherwise we'll go to sleep this morning. It's quite warm in here. Proverbs 21. Thank you, Lord, your word is living and powerful. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like rivers of water, he directs it wherever he chooses. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like rivers of water, he directs it wherever he chooses. When we look at the life of Jesus, all that he said, all that he did, we could say that he was the epitome of this verse. Everything about this verse describes Jesus. In fact, he's not just a king. He is the King of Kings. And yet Jesus humbled himself, became man. This King of Kings, this Creator God, this Lord of all glory and eternity, humbled himself and became man. And he basically allowed another person to lead and direct the course of his life. This great God, this one who deserves all obedience, all allegiance, actually said, I'm handing my entire body, soul, spirit over to another. And that other person, of course, was God the Father. He became man, still God the Son. He was still God, but he became man. He had no power in himself, and he demonstrated that very clearly, that for 30 years, listen up, 30 years, that this God-man walked around, grew up, walked around. He didn't do one supernatural thing. He didn't call anybody to follow him. He didn't do any miracle. This king lived as a seemingly ordinary human being. And then when he was 30, he surrendered himself completely to the baptism, being baptized in water. And when he came up out of the water, you know the scriptures. The Holy Spirit came upon him. The Holy Spirit came. So the Holy Spirit was not upon him until that day. And he, this king, which is why Jesus should be the study of our lives. He's the most wonderful person to study. You'll never find anybody to improve on. You want to look at the greatest, most wonderful, most beautiful person, most loving, most joyful, most amazing, most powerful, most everything. He exceeds them all. And so if we study this king, we see this king was so humble to allow another to rule his life. And that other person was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's not just a manifestation. He is a person. He is God, the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He feels things. He's grieved when we grieve him. He has a will. He has emotions. And Jesus surrendered his whole being to another person. And he showed it in the things that he did. Immediately the Spirit led him into the wilderness. What a study of the humility and the awesomeness of this king. That he would go to a desert, fast for 40 days and nights, face the demonic powers and temptation, overcome every temptation, but not in his own power. Everything he did with the helper, or the ability, or the power of the Holy Spirit. He went to the wilderness, led by the Spirit. He spoke words. He said, I don't speak of my own. I only speak what the Father gives me to speak. And the Father would give him words through the Holy Spirit, words to speak. And that's why every word he spoke was spirit and life. It was the God life. And so we can see that his heart was continually the center of his being. His plans, his desires, his purpose was continually in the hand of another. He didn't take it up for himself. He gave away his heart to another. He gave away his body. He said, a body you've prepared for me. I have come to do your will, Father. I delight to do your will. He didn't even say it's a chore. He said, it's a joy. And we've heard this morning, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Another person enabled him to die to that suffering, to not run away from the greatest challenge that any man on this earth has ever faced. He lived a surrendered life. And you could say, like rivers of water, the Holy Spirit kind of directed him. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't chaotic. Okay, I just want to declare that. The Holy Spirit anything God does is not chaotic. It can look like there's been an explosion of power when he moves, but he's not chaotic. And so we see here that, like rivers of water, if you imagine rivers flowing, there's always a channel or banks through which the river goes. So it's going in a particular direction. And so Jesus had another person, the Holy Spirit, always moving him into a particular direction. And mostly that direction was people. The flow of the river, the flow of his life was always out into meeting people and bringing the God dimension of life to drive out all that wasn't God in their lives. Imagine that. This river, this power, drove out the Holy Spirit, all that wasn't God, through him to whoever he would meet. And so we see that Jesus lived in this position of surrender. We've been singing this morning something that has recently, this week, been in the news of a man, a politician, who has stepped down from his lifelong ambition to lead his party, his political party. And that man is Tim Farron, a committed Christian. And in the resignation of giving up his dream job, his dream life, his dream of he's lived his whole life for this. He said, I cannot live my life for God and compromise my faith as a politician. Now that's a sad day in our nation that a Christian cannot stand in a place of freedom of speech and say, I believe this. I believe, well, let's say this, the word of God. But he said, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And he has humbled himself to say, Christ, my Lord. I will give up all my ambitions, my worldly desires, goals, because I can't live for Christ and do this job. We applaud you. However, you may not be the leader of a Democratic Party. You may not be in the limelight. And yet we've all been called to surrender to our own ambitions and desires for our King. And this is what the Christian life is. It's a life of surrender that leads to a life of another empowering us to serve our King in such a way that that river of life flows and brings God dimension of change into people's lives. I do believe in the words of Jesus that he wants to baptize everyone, every one of his people, every believer, born again believer, who's yielded their life to Christ with the Holy Spirit and power. I do believe that we are in dire need of the power of God to change lives in our day. I believe it with all of my heart. But I also believe in this prerequisite, or this thing that comes first, which is my heart really in the hand of the Lord? Or my plans, my desires, my ambitions, are they really? Is my heart, the center of my being, really surrendered so that another person can dictate what I do? That another person can call the shots about who I talk to, how I speak, that I have words of grace, that I actually have words of mercy and love towards people? Or is this, I want the power, but not the surrender? And I can't see that we can have both. Otherwise, we are asking the Holy Spirit to fill us to do our thing. And if our heart is in the hand of the Lord, he turns it. He moves us, rather than we move us and say, come and do this, Lord. And so Jesus, being the one who is the greatest example of a surrendered life, is someone that I believe you and I should aspire to. Not Tim Farron. Tim Farron has played a price in public. You and I are called to play a price maybe in private for the rest of our lives. Our decisions, our choices, the things that we do with our time, the things we do with our money, it's all to do with heart. Is my heart really in the hand of the Lord? Or am I ambitious? Do I have an ambition that actually the cross needs to affect and bring change in so that my life can come under another person? And that person is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus wants every single believer to be baptized in the Spirit and power, but power under the control of another, being led to and into people's lives. In the Old Testament, there's an amazing vision that Ezekiel had of the temple. Do you remember that the river flowing out of the temple? And it's like the throne of God, where God dwells, there is a river that flows. And it flows out. What's interesting, it doesn't just fill the temple, it flows out. And it's flowing out from under the door, and it's got ever-increasing volume, and it becomes a mighty river that no one can cross. You have to swim to get over it. And I believe he's speaking of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going in a particular direction, because it's not chaotic. The Holy Spirit isn't chaotic. And he's moving in ever-increasing volume. And what happens around this river is trees are growing, many trees. The vision is of many trees, and that speaks of us as believers, planted, rooted in Christ, drinking from the river of life, drinking from God, the Holy Spirit. Can you see that? Your roots, so that the river is, the life of God is filling you. And what's interesting in this vision is Ezekiel sees that there's fruit, and that fruit is every month, 12 months of the year. It's not once a year. That fruit is continuous. That continuous flow of life. Because the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he won't be outside of you. He will be with you and in you. And you can come and drink so that your fruit will be all the time, continuous. And these trees have leaves, and these leaves are for the healing of the nations. But what's exciting about Ezekiel 47 is that in this flow, the flow of the river goes into somewhere called the Dead Sea. Now, if you were to investigate the Dead Sea, you would know that very difficult for there to be life in that environment. It's a dead sea, okay? Not a living sea. The Dead Sea is dead. So you put a fish in, it'll die. But this water is headed for the Dead Sea. I love this. It's got its goal. And the goal is, the Holy Spirit's goal is, I want to get into that sea. I love that. And the Holy Spirit is just saying, I want to go into that sea because I can change the sea. And he does. And that sea starts to teem with life and fish. So many fish that the fishermen are everywhere trying to pull them out. It's like the harvest. Jesus has made us fishers of men, harvesters. But it's the Holy Spirit who's bringing that dead sea of humanity to life. Those who are dead in sin and transgressions are made alive with the life of God. And I'd like you to confess, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that I have God's life, the Holy Spirit living in me. Go on, say it. The same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. Go on, say it. Which is why Jesus said you could do the same works. You can say it if you like. Which is why Jesus said you will do the same. He who believes in me, Jesus said, will do the same works. And this river wants to flow where there's death. Okay, he wants to flow where there are dead people. Now, I mean dead spiritually. And if our hearts are in the hand of the Lord, he can move us and flow through us to make dead things live. Now, there's an example of this, because sometimes I think we think about the river of God and we all think, oh, we've got to try and jump in, get swimming. What do we have to do now? It feels all a little bit spiritual. Can't get a handle on the river of God. which is true. You can never get a handle on the Holy Spirit. And the rivers, water is always a sign of the Holy Spirit, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But if we look at the ministry of Jesus, which is always done in the power of the Holy Spirit, let's look at Matthew. And we'll see an example here. How are you doing? Many rivers will flow. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Power under control. Power in the direction and flow of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 8. As Jesus went on from there, remembering that he is being led by another person, yeah, moved. Can we remember what we've already... Jesus went on from there, not his own plan, own direction. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. And while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus, just imagine, led by the Holy Spirit, there's a river of life wanting to come and impact that dead person. Okay? Using this analogy, I know this is simple this morning, but that's what he wants to do with us. Keep it simple. He wants you to go to somebody led by the Spirit, moved by the Spirit. See, he saw. Now, let me say there were loads of people there, so he saw loads of people, but he really saw one. And when you are being moved by the Spirit, you will see one. Highlighted. It'll be obvious, right? This is how to be led by the Holy Spirit. It'll be, you'll see differently. You'll go, God wants to do something in that person's life. Just like he did with me when he first called me. He saw me. And Matthew is a tax collector, which to the Jews was like a big sinner. And we know that Jesus calls all people who are sinners, sinners. There aren't big ones and small ones. We've all sinned. But particularly to the Jewish culture, this guy would collect taxes and keep... ask for more taxes from people and then keep the proceeds. So he was into gain. He was unrighteous with his money, and the Jews hated them because they kind of left their roots, their Jewish roots, their Jewish culture, their nation, and have started to serve another ruler, really. So Matthew is not liked, and you can well believe those that were following with Jesus, the early disciples around Jesus, would not have liked Matthew. Because he was exactly what you wouldn't want with you. But Jesus wants Matthew with him. And so he goes up to him and he says two words. Can you just highlight that? Just for a moment, two words. Come, follow. I mean, what does that, what person, naturally speaking, could you walk up to and say, come follow? They'd be going, right. That right there is weird. Am I right? But it was not powerless words. Two words spoken by the Holy Spirit will cause someone to leave their life of sin and become a follower. Amen. And we know that Matthew repented because he stopped doing what he was doing and started walking with Jesus. So we know he repented and he believed. And I, I just want us to home in on another person was doing the work through Jesus. Jesus was being used, his heart, his words were being used, but the living water, the power of the Holy Spirit was in those words to change that dead sinner to alive. Thank you, Jesus. And I know it's hot this morning, but we need the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that our lives are not our own. To put our hearts, our ambitions, our plans, our agendas into his hand and say, Lord, move me. Because I want to be in the flow. And your flow is going into the Dead Sea, into the world, where people need Jesus. And so we see this river of life is actually got a goal. Now, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be for your personal blessing, but not that alone. He said it would become a spring, living water becoming a spring, a fountain in you. But the fountain wasn't just to be for you. The river, the Holy Spirit, was to flow out of you. Right? And that flow out is to where there is death, where there is a need, where there's healing needed, where there is a deliverance needed, where someone needs the gospel or needs to hear the call. Come and follow Jesus. And just as you could say in the most normal thing, testimony this morning with Pastor Andrea's neighbor, a door has been opened for that river to flow into that man's life. And so her just responding and saying, he could come to church or we could get somebody around to help that gentleman because he's needing help. We find out that he used to have faith. But God's calling him again. And he's calling him again. And that river is going to flow down right into that man's life, into your next door neighbor's life, and it's going to start a move all the way along that street. What about your street? Is there a flow going out from you to a Matthew, to a person where God is on the move? Because God wants to move through us as his church, just as he moved through Jesus. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's important you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. When you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. But without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you won't see that river, that power flow. And we're in days where we don't need to be theologically tied up in doctrines that you might have been taught before that are not the truth. Jesus said, all who come to me and ask will receive. And he's a good father, and how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? But for us who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, I think there's a challenge going out to fulfill Proverbs 21:1, that our hearts will be in the hand of the Lord. Like rivers of water, he will direct it. And this is an exciting life. It's an exciting life because it means that the God dimension of life is going to flow. But also, Jesus, we're gonna finish here and begin to pray. You'll be thrilled to know I've nearly finished, but the Holy Spirit hasn't. John's Gospel. How you doing? Don't you want this flow? Love the way you did that, yes. We need to be excited. Sometimes I turn around and think, gosh, you know, I know it's hot. And I know sometimes there are times to be sad, you know, in our country, but now's the time to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we bring the life of God. Because remember, Dead Sea, nothing can live, but where this river flows, everything lives. Everything. Wherever Jesus went and spoke and healed, everything lived. And it's possible. Say to your neighbor, it's possible for me to see this flow of life. And this life isn't actually put off by death. It triumphs over it. It can never lose. Because God can't lose. It always succeeds in the direction it's going. But you see, the Holy Spirit knew that it was Matthew for that day. That was the direction. It wasn't chaotic. Jesus wasn't going, everybody, everybody, everybody. You. Because it was directed. So I want my heart, don't you, to be in the hand of the Lord so that he moves me, directs me, sorts out my ambitions, desires. I lay down whatever plans and thoughts I've got. My dreams are nothing, Lord, in comparison to your will. I delight to do your will. Fill me again. And in John chapter 7, and I know many of you know this, but Jesus is in the temple teaching. Now remember, this is where the river starts with Jesus. Okay, and we are the temple, the body of Christ. You as an individual believer, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Christ in you. So he is here now. Jesus is in his temple. This is the, and you can say right now he is saying this. This is what Jesus is saying. Right now he's here. This is the word, Jesus, saying this. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone, I'm not going to shout it, but he did shout, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Thirsty. Today's a day to drink a lot. It's hot. You need to keep your liquids up. Because what happens if you don't? Dry. You get dehydrated. And you know, there might be one or two here that feel a little bit spiritually dry. Dehydrated. Prunish. Raisinish. Spiritually. But where that river goes, there's life. You'll plump up pretty quick. If you have a drink. You know, these prunes, these dried prunes, you put them in water, what happens? And Jesus said, if you're thirsty, you have to recognize or want. You know, Jesus doesn't force you to drink to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I know there are some here this morning who resist. Really. Or aren't confident even in the Holy Spirit. But you can be confident because Jesus said this. And he's not chaotic. Will you get out of control? Yes and no. You always have your own will. You can take your heart back from Jesus and do your own thing. You'll always have your own will. So Jesus, the Holy Spirit, will never drive you. He will lead you. And you can say yes or no. But in the end, if we want power under control, we need to be a people who are willing to be led by another, aren't we? But, you know, life, stuff happens to us and we actually get thirsty. Just like physically, you are created to keep drinking until you leave your physical body. Am I right? And spiritually, I reckon some of us need a good drink. Now, Jesus said, come to me. Come to me and drink. And then he speaks about the Holy Spirit. He says, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Rivers of living water will flow. Some translations say, out of them. And remember, one of the ways that the spirit, the river flows was words, through Jesus' words. Come follow. That was the way the Spirit impacted people's lives, through words. The good news, through speaking. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers. And I love this analogy that a little drink can become a river out of me. Don't drink raisin. Drink prune and river. Because I'll be so filled with the fullness of God. Before I come and minister on a Sunday, I drink a lot of water. And probably 3-4 glasses, big glasses of water before I come. Because I know that I need, my body really needs water. And as I'm talking, I'm sure you're getting a bit thirsty. And I just know that I need to drink. Now, Jesus, how do we drink from Jesus? Well, we drink from his word. Okay, we do drink from his word. But Jesus is actually speaking about the Holy Spirit here. Come to me and drink. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And when we, because Jesus is here in his temple, just simply come like children. Say, Lord, I'm thirsty. I want to be in the God dimension of life. I don't want my life to be filled with my own plans, agendas, desires. I want you to lead me to a Matthew. I want to be used to heal the sick. I want that river of life to cause everything to live through my life. You see, you have the potential for this if you're thirsty. Just like I had the potential to not be thirsty this morning because I drank before I came. And you know, many times I come to Jesus in faith, drink. I feel nothing. I just do it most often. Sometimes I might sense awesomeness, presence of Jesus. I might be, you know, because wherever the Spirit is, there's love, joy, peace. You see the fruit of the Spirit, but there's joy. There's joy in his presence. So whenever you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to be a joyful person. And don't we need the Holy Spirit to sort our emotions? Don't we need to be joy-filled people, which means Spirit-filled, not full of yourself? But to come to Jesus, what an offer he has. And it's like he's holding his hands out to you this morning saying, are you thirsty? Do you want me to move through your life? Well, maybe, you just maybe come to me and give me your heart afresh. Lay down your plans, your rights. Lay down what you want to do, your ambitions. Surrender and come and drink. Because if you do, you'll be full. I'll fill you again. Not just in a corporate meeting either, every day, every moment. But I want to flow to where there are dead people. The Holy Spirit wants to do that. He wants more than you do. We need the Holy Spirit. You need the very life that we read of through the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the early church. So come, Holy Spirit, fill us as we drink from Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Say to your person next to you, this is going to be a good time. What I love about Jesus is that it's always faith. But every promise he gives, he fulfills if we do our part. But if we come to him now, I just want you to see that Jesus is here. The one who can give you this life. And just lay down your plans. Just give, put your heart into his hand. Just surrender. Thank you, Jesus. King's heart, your heart, is it in his hands? Just yield if you want to. It's a willingness, a choice. But it's what Jesus wants. He paid for you with his blood. He bought you so he could own you, guys. But we can take ourselves back a bit. Let's just come back to Jesus and say, Lord, be my king. I put my heart, every circumstance of my life, every ambition, goal, dream. I put my marriage, my singleness, my circumstances, everything. I just want to come to you and give you my heart afresh now. Just be real now. Jesus is listening. Lord, we are amazed at your example, that you lived your life surrendered to another person. You, the King of Kings, humbled yourself to such a level that you weren't moved by your own will, even when you faced the cross. You said, not my will, but yours be done. Thank you for being the most incredible example for us, so that we could live out our lives modeling you, following you as disciples, those who are called to deny ourselves and take up our cross to follow. And Lord, right here, right now, I and we as your people respond that you, the King of Kings, are in this place. We bow and honor you. Everything belongs to you, Jesus. We just put everything into your hands. But Lord, you don't just say bow. You say, is anyone thirsty? You want to fill us, Lord. You want to fill us with your goodness, your joy, your peace, your love, your whole being. You want every one of us, Lord, to not be dehydrated, but to have that fullness of life. And so, Lord, we come to you in faith and receive. We drink. And trust you right now as we drink, you will fill us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Fill us, Lord. Fill us with your peace. Fill us with your purity, your holiness. Your righteousness. Come, Holy Spirit, fill your temple. We are yours. We hand over everything, Lord, so that we might be moved and directed by you. Lead us. Be filled with his joy. That ability to be full of joy in spite of everything around you. That anointing, that Holy Spirit joy. We drink in faith. Our roots are in you, Jesus. We just are like those trees, wanting the fruit of your Spirit. Flood our being, flood us, Lord. Let your presence fill each one of us as your vessels. Take you into our whole being by faith, knowing that you are giving us your Spirit, filling us. I believe all over this room, Lord, you're filling your people. We're thirsty for you. We're thirsty for your very life. We want to live in your Spirit. Walk in your Spirit. Serve in the Spirit. Relate to one another in the Spirit. Be filled. If you've never been baptized in the Spirit, ask and you will receive. But have a fresh baptism, church, today. Each one of us, let's ask and receive. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us. And they all began to speak with other tongues. All began to speak, so filled with God. Rahai Sataraka Rugosaka Rodandike Seketekedamai Rodro Bogosaye Toko Rabagada Gazamaye Rabagazondorogo Rabagazai. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Berehende Kisatodo. Just begin to just continue to speak. If you've never spoken in tongues before, just use your faith and just let the Spirit speak through you in worship, in praise, and then in a heavenly language. Fill us. Oh, Holy Spirit, we need you. We need the companionship, the fellowship, the partnership of the Holy Spirit. Be our senior partner, Lord. Come and lead us, Lord. To love with your love, to follow with the power that you give us, to die to things with your ability, to endure things because of your presence, to do what Jesus asks us to do and see those who are dead come alive. Lord, to see by the Spirit, to see what you're doing in people's lives and to operate out of the flow of your Spirit. Rahanda azagat gozege de gei. Rabaganda gazotu kozeke te kitigi de baganda. Rabagahanda asa. Open your mouth and sing and worship. Asabakato korabagasa koto korabagan. Lakande, we worship you, Jesus, Lord of your temple. Lord of your temple, come. Robogo zegedigidi yarabaganda. Yield, yield to him and be filled. Lakando rogo rabagasa.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log on to our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.